So I got this email from James saying, Rhonda, we're going to be away on this weekend, and would you mind doing the sermon? And I want you to preach on Jonah chapter 2, and the topic is prayer. I thought, that's really weird. Who preaches on prayer from Jonah? Do you preach on the Beatitudes, or you preach on the Lord's Prayer, or you preach on Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane? A whole lot of things, but nobody preaches on prayer from Jonah. So that had me really curious. So I thought, I'll go home and check this out. So I went home and opened up Jonah chapter 2, and lo and behold, I find it is a prayer. And I might just read it now, Jonah chapter 2. If you'd like to turn to it in your Bible, otherwise Scotty will probably get it up there for us. And this is from when Jonah's inside the fish. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, when I read that prayer, it didn't make any sense to me. That is a really weird prayer to pray from the belly of a fish. For one thing, it's in past tense. Now, I don't know, but if I was you and I'm in the belly of a fish, I'd be going, God, save me now. I wouldn't be saying, I'm already saved. So then I thought, drat, now I'm going to actually have to study this. And the reason I did was because every time I've ever looked at Jonah, I've been so caught up in the story, because it's a really cool story about getting swallowed by a fish. And I think that I've been so engaged with the story, I haven't really gone beyond the story. And that's what I want us to do today, to actually maybe shift gear a little bit and think about a little bit beyond the story. But while I was doing that, of course, my focus was on this really interesting prayer. And I discovered that this prayer wasn't a prayer for deliverance, which I thought it should be. As I said, I know what I'd be praying if I was in a fish, but it wasn't. He wasn't saying, help me. And I think, after I was studying it for a while, I'm a bit worried because, you know, James might come back next week and say I'm totally wrong. But what I thought, actually, when I read this prayer, I always had the idea that when Jonah was thrown out of the boat, the fish come along and swallowed him up and he spent 3 days in there. But I don't think that anymore after reading and studying this prayer. I think that Jonah nearly drowned. I think that he was in the water and the waves were crashing over him. I think he was struggling to get air. I think that he was in that water trying to swim, probably, I imagine, and not being able to. And that he, in that point, called out to God to help. I see that in verses 1 to 2, Jonah, coming back to the scripture there, Jonah is praising God for his deliverance. He's saying he called out to God and God listened and God answered. And in verses 3 to 7, Jonah recounts what his predicament was. I think he had a really narrow escape from death. I think, you know, the word says, look at it. It says the engulfing waters threatened him. He had seaweed wrapped around his head. He'd sank down to the earth. The roots of the mountains. This guy was near death and he was calling out to God. And it says there, la la la, what verse is it? His life, verse 7, his life was ebbing away. and he remembered the Lord. I don't think that Jonah needed deliverance from the fish. I think that the fish was the rescue vessel that delivered him from death. And I think that was the key to understanding this prayer and totally transformed my understanding of this story. It was smelly, no doubt. It was unpleasant, but it was a place of safety for Jonah, and it was his rescue vessel. And I think that this prayer is one that's quite reflective. And I think it's the gift of this amazing rescue ship for Jonah is the reason why in verses 8 and 9 Jonah declares a new commitment to God. He says, "I will sacrifice to God and do what I promised to do." It's a great story of salvation, this story of Jonah. Jonah was saved, but it was more than that. And I was amazed by the likeness to Jesus in this story. In Matthew chapter 12, where it's talking about Jesus, it actually likens Jonah's 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish to Jesus' 3 days and nights when he went to the grave before he was resurrected. And I think that that's really significant for us to note, that this was a symbolic act of death and resurrection. And Jonah was like Jesus in that he sacrificed his own life by allowing himself to be thrown into the sea in chapter 1. Because on that boat, the people were all in fear of their life. And Jonah readily said, "Look, just throw me overboard." I'm sure it wasn't that easy. But he offered that sacrifice of himself to save the men on the boat, and it succeeded in more ways than one, because when he got thrown over, the Bible says that the sea went calm and everything was okay on the boat. So physically, those men were rescued. But they were also spiritually rescued, because they said, verse 16 says, "At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him." So these men on the boat then, after that encounter with Jonah, knew the Lord God. And I think that Jonah's first point of reference there was the salvation of the men on the boat. His other sacrifice is probably a little less obvious. And I've always wondered, why wouldn't Jonah go to Nineveh in the first place? And I had to look a bit further into the scripture, and I decided, all by myself, that I think he was worried about his reputation, because Jonah was actually a prophet of some credibility. He was a prophet who had audience with some serious people like King Jeroboam II. And you don't get that kind of access unless you are very credible. Otherwise, in those days, you wouldn't approach a king. They've got the power to kill you if they don't like what you're wearing. So I think Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh because he is pretty sure the people are going to listen to him, change their ways, and what he said would happen wouldn't happen, and then he'd feel like a git. He was worried that his reputation would be damaged, which is pretty harsh, that he's more worried about his own reputation than about this enormous city that's on its road to hell. And that place, by all accounts, was seriously violent. It was a terrible, terrible city. And I can't remember the race of people that that city belongs to, but they were horrible. And, I can understand Jonah going, one, it's a bit scary to go there because these people are so extremely violent and destructive. But also I can kind of understand him going, well, what are people going to say if I get out there declaring mass destruction and then you bring, mass mercy and it doesn't happen? I'm going to look a bit silly. But God brought Jonah to a place of repentance. He really needed some serious intervention. This is a man who's on a boat in the middle of the sea that's about to capsize. Everybody's going to drown. He's asleep under the decks. Does that remind you of anything? Do you remember that story of Jesus and his disciples? They're going across the, was it Sea of Galilee? And the disciples are all there, oh, we're all going to die. Jesus is asleep under the deck, and they wake him up and go, don't you care? We're all going to die. He says, oh, ye of little faith. But that's another story. But in this case, Jonah knows he's on this conscious act of disobedience to God, and he's so not worried about it. He's calm, he's relaxed, he's having a nap. Everybody else is having a panic. Jonah's asleep under deck. They have to come and wake him up and say, what are you doing? Why are you asleep? We're all going to die. So I don't think that this was a situation where a little, excuse me, Jonah, from God was going to work. God needed some serious intervention in this case to wake that man up. And you know, I think, unfortunately, we can be a bit like that, asleep on the boat while everyone around us is going to die. I think we're sometimes asleep on the boat, ignorant of the perspective of others that are on the boat with us. That they can see stuff going on and they can hear stuff going on, and we're just not getting it. And we're asleep on the boat when there's a whole city that needs us to bring the message of salvation. And I'm so thankful that our God is merciful. God, in his great mercy, brought salvation to the men on the boat. He brought those men to a place where they turned to God. It was a scary place, but they turned to God. In his great mercy, God brought Jonah to a place of repentance and submission. He was so merciful. As I said, that place of Nineveh was just disgusting. God, in his mercy, brought Nineveh to a place of salvation. And God, in his great mercy, comes again to offer that same salvation to the people of the rural city of Ararat. And he requires us, as his servants, to wake up on this boat and respond to the needs of those around us. He asks that we make a sacrifice to follow him in obedience, just like he asked Jonah to make a sacrifice to follow him in obedience. And I see that his task, God's task, is to prepare the people. And I think he's doing that. And it's his task to provide the salvation. And Jesus has done that. But it's our task to be his hands and feet in this community in which we live, to be Jonah, to speak the word and to deliver that message that he has for us. And I think that we need to be people who are praising him continuously as Jonah was for our deliverance. Not to forget, in prayer meeting last week, we had this really weird experience of telling each other our salvation testimony. But what happened in that room? Every person there knew their salvation testimony. They knew what it was like before they met Jesus as their Saviour, and they knew what it was like afterwards, and it was different, and it was good. And we all know that, don't we? And God calls us to continually praise him and thank him and not to forget how great this salvation is. And he wants us to then declare our commitment to God, to sacrifice what he asks us to sacrifice. And it may not be jumping into the ocean. It might be, you know, maybe a little bit of sacrifice of reputation by getting out of our comfort zone and talking about God to someone where we normally wouldn't. Or it might be a sacrifice of time. Or it might be a sacrifice of cooking. I don't know what that sacrifice is from each of us. But I think he wants us to again look at our place in the boat. Are we running around on deck? Are we asleep below? Are we trying to take charge? Are we praying to useless idols like those men were on the boat? You know, Jonah says an interesting thing about idols. He said, people that worship idols, they miss out on the grace that could be theirs. And we need to worship the true God so that we don't miss out on grace, we don't miss out on his mercy, we don't miss out on his wonderful forgiveness. R.T. Kendall says, "The belly of a fish is not a great place to live, but it's a very good place to learn." And I thank God, because this church that we're in is our fish. It's a place of safety where we can learn and then go out and minister to the needs of other people. And so I want us to think about now, just in the quietness, I want us to close our eyes and talk to God and to have a think about, where are we on the boat? I don't know the answer to that. But I know that if you don't know the answer to where your place is on the boat, God will tell you if you ask him. And if you're a person who's already declared your commitment to God, maybe you want to renew that today and to again say, God, I'm so glad that you've brought me this great salvation. You've taken me from a place of darkness and put me in a place of salvation and eternal life, a place where I can live in blessing, a place where I can live in harmony with other people. And maybe there's somebody here today that needs to renew that commitment to God and to say sorry for running away and sorry for hiding and sorry for ignoring the plight of the people in our community that God sent us to minister to. And if that's you today, just in the quietness, I ask that you would rededicate yourself, make a new commitment to God, and ask him to be present and to lead you and to guide you to the people that he's sending you to. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today because you are a merciful God. And I want to thank you because you continually endeavour to find ways to draw us closer to you. And you continually endeavour to find ways to bring people to that place of repentance, to the very spot on the very day, in the way that will work for them best. And God, I praise you because you never give up on us, even when we are totally wrong. You continue to invest yourself in our lives, and I pray that we'll respond to you, that we'll respond with thankful hearts, and that we'll respond with obedient hearts, Lord God. And I pray that we will learn through Jonah as we continue to study for the next few weeks more about you and more about how we can grow to be like you and to be ministers of your grace to people around us. Amen.